Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to the Now Hear This, Canby podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Martina Baker, and this is what's happening this week in our community. The Wild Hair Music Festival is back and better than ever. Presented by the Wild Hair Saloon and JFEL Presents, the 2022 Wild Hair Music Festival will take place July 15th and 16th at the Clackamas County Fairgrounds and Event Center. The Wild Hair Music Fest will feature a star-studded lineup of 22 artists representing a wide range of genres, including country, Americana, Southern rock, blues, red dirt, and more. This year's lineup includes fast-rising Oklahoma songwriter Zach Bryan, Grammy-nominated guitar phenom Marcus King, alt-country road warriors Lucero, and groove-heavy Portland favorites TK and the Holy Know-Nothings. Also gracing the festival stages will be the punk-inflected honky-tonk outfit Sarah Shook and the Disarmers, truth-telling Texan Vincent Neil Emerson, versatile troubadour Red Shahan, and cinematic country folk lyricist Charlie Wesley Godwin. The festival's unique multiple-stage setup allows bands to start their sets in rapid succession with virtually no downtime in between, creating a seamless entertainment experience for concertgoers. Now in its third year, the Wild Hair Music Fest has quickly built a reputation as one of the Pacific Northwest premier showcases of rising talents on the cusp of stardom, particularly in the emerging red dirt music scene. Our fans have told us that they value the opportunity to see rising stars in a more intimate setting before they get so big that their only option becomes stadiums and mega festivals, said Joan Monin, owner of the Wild Hair Saloon and co-producer of the festival. Our festival is positioned to be an on-ramp to becoming the next big thing and a tremendous opportunity for artists and fans to connect. The previous edition, held in July 2019 at Pat's Acres outside Canby, featured the likes of Cody Johnson, Whitey Morgan, Bree Bagwell, the Dirty River Boys, the Lowdown Drifters, Mike and the Moon Pies, Mickey and the Motorcars, the Piedmont Boys, and Jason Bolland and the Stragglers, among other stars. The move to Clackamas County Fairgrounds and Event Center offers expanded and improved tent camping and RV parking areas, shorter distances between overnight and music areas, more vendor space, and modern restroom facilities. The Canby Area Chamber of Commerce announced it has named a new leader with broad experience in business, education, and nonprofits. Lori Tarter joins the Canby organization most recently from her own company, through which she offered consulting services to small business owners and nonprofits, and the Wilsonville Area Chamber of Commerce, where she served as an event and communications manager for 2 years. For nearly two decades, Tarter served as a vice president and program facilitator for Winning Futures, a nationally recognized and award-winning nonprofit in the Detroit metro area, dedicated to helping high school students succeed through mentoring, life skills development, goal setting, job readiness, training, and other programs. All told, she brings some 25 years of executive and managerial experience in marketing, building relationships, leading new initiatives, and working with organizations of all sizes, including businesses, nonprofits, and chambers of commerce in the Canby and Wilsonville areas. Her selection capped a month-long search that included an initial pool of hopefuls and panel interviews by the board of directors and other community members of several finalists. I am a pro-business advocate, and I'm passionate about workforce and economic development, strategic partnerships, special events, membership, and inclusive strategies, Tarter said. I understand the importance of strong relationships and collaboration with elected officials, business leaders, and members. Tarter replaces Kyle Lang, who stepped down last month after 4 years in the position to take on a new role as general manager of Hairfest and the Wild Hair Music Festival. A 77-year-old was found safe Tuesday after a large-scale search by Clackamas County rescue crews, according to the sheriff's office. Family members had reported the woman missing on February 15th, saying she had walked away from her daughter's home near Dodge Park, which is in an unincorporated area of Clackamas County north of Sandy. The woman, who was recently diagnosed with dementia, has been living with her daughter for only a short time. Clackamas County search and rescue crews, including ground searchers, two K-9 teams, and a drone, searched area riverbanks, local roads, trails, and Dodge Park for Reno. Mountain Wave Emergency Communications and American Medical Response Reach and Treat assisted in the effort. As it became dark, a rescue coordinator who was familiar with the area suggested searching a maze of fishermen's trails downstream along the west bank of the Sandy with a K-9 officer named Jackie. Sure enough, the pup and her handler led the team to the missing woman around 7 p.m. She was cold and lying under a fallen tree and had walked nearly 2.5 miles from her daughter's home. With some warming and encouragement, the woman was able to walk to a team that had hiked in with a wheeled litter and was transported to a waiting ambulance. Canby School District leaders joined 91 school staff and students to surprise Claudia Perez with this month's Canby Area Recognition of Excellence, the CARE Award. Perez is a bilingual instructional assistant at 91 who works with Spanish-speaking students and families. Fellow staff member Heidi Wilson nominated Perez for the honor. Claudia is the most humble, hardworking, dedicated staff member I know, Wilson said. She continually works with our Spanish-speaking families, even after hours, to make sure that their students' needs are being met. Wilson also noted in the nomination that Perez listens to school parents with a compassionate heart. When a family has a need, she is the first to do something about it, Wilson said. Whether it's buying shoes for a child out of her own pocket or providing a jacket for a child who may not have one. Perez is also known for brightening the day for her peers. Canby Kiwanis established the CARE Award to provide opportunities like this to recognize individual teachers, counselors, coaches, and other school staff who make a difference in the lives of others and the community. The prospective recipients must be nominated, and the honoree, or sometimes honorees, are then decided by a CARE committee made up of members from Kiwanis and the community. Typically, Canby Kiwanis and Canby School District honor a district staff member with the award each month. As this month's winner, Perez will receive a plaque and gift basket from local businesses in recognition of her work. Local sponsors of the CARE Award include the Backstop Bar and Grill, Wayward Sandwiches, Swan Island Dahlias, Puddin' River Chocolates, Matt Olson State Farm Insurance, Rice Time Canby, The Book Nook, Oddmost Pizza, The Wild Hair Saloon, and Direct Link. Cougar Country Hometown Sports Coverage is brought to you by Reif and Hunsaker PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Canby has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. For the latest sports news, follow us on Twitter at Cougar Country OR and Instagram at Cougar Country POD. Although the Canby Cougars girls basketball team dropped 2 games this past week, they further cemented their spot in the OSAA 6A playoffs. Playing 2 top 20 teams in number 4 Lake Ridge and number 10 West Lynn, the high competition alone kept Canby in the number 27 spot in the state, 5 spots safe from elimination. Beginning the week against Lake Ridge, a versatile squad that has won 6 straight games, the Cougars were not able to stop the Pacers' offense. So far this season, only one team has been able to score 50 points against the Cougar defense more than once, Lake Ridge. After scoring 50 points in their first meeting, Lake Ridge put up 64 points in a dominant 64-43 win over the Cougars. As if facing the red-hot Pacers wasn't fun enough, Camby got another battle against the scorching Westland Lions 2 days later, such is life in the brutally competitive Three Rivers League. The Cougars began the game with head coach Ingrid McCoy's staple defense holding strong, limiting the Lion offense to just 1 point in the first 3 minutes and only 8 in the first quarter. Offensively, Kaylee Borntrager hit 2 triples off of passes from Allie Mead to keep the Cougs close, trailing only 7-10 at the end of one. From there, though, the wheels fell off of the Camby offense. Mead and McKenna Kraft were the only 2 Cougars to score in the second period. While the Lions were relatively unable to score, totaling only 25 points in the first half, Camby was able to put up only a feeble 11. Although the Cougars would lose soundly 28-54, Camby did have several positives to take away. As has been the case for much of the season, Camby's defense has performed at elite levels even when the buckets refused to fall on the other end. And for stretches of this game, West Lynn was rendered completely unable to score. The Lions put up only a single point for nearly half of the first quarter, and the Cougar D held their opponents to only 2 points in 4.5 minutes during another portion of the contest as well. While the week may have been hard, Camby still sits firmly in playoff contention with their number 27 ranking. With the remainder of their opponents, number 12 Oregon City, number 19 Tualatin, number 29 Tigard, all also projected for the playoffs, Camby will have their work cut out for them.
So, Tyler, Valentine's Day is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Got any big plans with the missus?
Oh, you know it.
That's what I thought. A little candlelight, nice dinner.
Mm-hmm. Check and check.
Romantic music, champagne, and of course, books.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah, man. Ladies love books, and books are a great gift that show you value and appreciate everything about that special someone in your life, including their mind.
Okay, I'm with you. One problem, though. What if I don't know what book she would like?
Not to worry, my friend. The Book Nook on North Grant Street in downtown Camby has you covered with their Blind Date with a Book promotion. You just pick out the genre and they take care of the rest, sending you home with your choice of a new or used pre-wrapped hardcover or paperback gem that she or he or they are sure to love.
That does sound pretty cool and romantic.
Yep. Plus, Book Nook has a fantastic selection of chocolate, candy, cards, and other gifts for all of your Valentine's needs.
And that's not all. If you're in need of a special outing on Valentine's week, look no further than Trivia Night at Wayward Sandwiches Thursday, February 17th. They're partnering with the Book Nook for an evening of romantic literature-themed trivia. Awesome bookish prizes and lots of fun.
For all things books and more, check out The Book Nook, 294 Northwest 2nd Avenue, or visit them on Facebook, Instagram, and at booknookcanby.com. It's back. Hosted by the Camby Rotary Club, Camby's inaugural Daddy-Daughter Dance was one of the first local events to be postponed due to the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic in March 2020. Now, 2 years later, the need for parents, kids, families, and the community to come together, reconnect, and have a little fun is greater than ever. Here's Camby Rotary President and event organizer, Ray Keene.
So the Daddy-Daughter Dance is really just coming online at, I think, a really important time for the relationships that are really core in our community. When you think about opportunities to come together with a father and a daughter to connect, or other meaningful relationships, we're really open to all coming. So, you know, when those relationships are kind of when they've been hammered the way that the last couple of years have, you know, really impacted all of our relationships, I think it's really an important time for dads and daughters to be able to get together and do something that's really special.
So join us for an evening of fun, food, magic, music, and of course, dancing from 6 to 9 p.m. Saturday, March 12th at the Ackerman Center in Canby. The night will include a chocolate fountain, refreshments, arts and crafts, a photo booth, a live magic show, and other surprises that are sure to amaze and delight the little princess in your life. Tickets are $30 per couple and $10 for every additional child, with all proceeds supporting the work of Canby Rotary and its charitable efforts in our community. All are welcome at this fun, friendly, and inclusive event. For tickets or more information, visit canbyrotary.com. Joining us on the Canby Conversation today is Jackie Bates. She's a sales representative at American Steel in Canby and one of the main organizers of an inaugural event that just took place this weekend, the American Ruck. Hi, Jackie.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Good morning. How are you today on this foggy Canby day?
We're doing so good. I guess we're still in a high of what an amazing event that we had this last Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to tell you, I got several text messages, I think you saw there was even somebody on Twitter that was asking us, like, what is with all these people on the logging trail Saturday morning with the American flags and everything? They don't look like protesters.
No, we weren't doing that.
So why don't you tell us a little bit what was going on and what this wonderful event was all about?
So this was our first year hosting the American Ruck, which was kind of a crazy of a whim idea of a couple of us here at American Steel, a group event that we put on together, Jesse Lyons, Joe Anama, and Taylor Shaw, and I, through American and Lampro Steel, decided that we wanted to hold an event that raised money to give back to the community, and we started the American Ruck this year. A ruck is technically an event that you carry weight while walking, similar to like a rucksack in military terms. And so we decided to charge money, and people will get a t-shirt and a patch, and we'll give the proceeds to a couple different
nonprofits.
Nonprofits, thank you, that can benefit from. Yeah,
so the proceeds went to the Dr. Richard Davies First Responder Fund, which is a wonderful, correct me if I'm wrong, which is a wonderful local fund that serves local first responders, firefighters, police, and is administered through the Canby Center. I believe also, you know, it's just kind of those random needs that come up when a family's displaced by a fire, or, you know, maybe a police officer or a firefighter has some random need that doesn't fit into the normal existing safety net, the Dr. Davies First Responder Fund steps in.
You are 100% correct. When we first decided that we wanted to do this, we wanted to give back to our first responders, and we said we want to give back to our Canby first responders here locally first. And then we found out about the Dr. Richard Davies First Responder Fund, and it just fits so perfectly. So that was a definite yes. And then we also are going to be donating proceeds to PAWS Assisting Veterans, also known as PAVE. They are a nonprofit that connects service dogs with veterans here out of the Northwest. They're a smaller group. And we decided that it would definitely impact them more directly than a larger veteran nonprofit that may or may not really recognize how much we would be donating to them. So it was great to have them at an event. I know some people got to meet their dogs, their service dogs there, and just to create more awareness, both for our military members and veterans, that there's always a helping hand out there. So So
yeah, absolutely. Another wonderful organization. I actually used to work with someone who would train dogs for them. So back when being in the office was a thing that people did, she would often bring, you know, her puppies, and they would be, you know, some of them start out very young. So starting, you know, some of them very small and young puppies, you know, and they're going up there toward more full grown. But it was always fun seeing them around the office.
Yeah, definitely. What a small world. That's so great. I love that. Just makes it even better.
So I had only ever heard of rucksacks being in the traditional usage of, you know, a soldier or service member carrying a rucksack. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize until kind of Googling a little bit in preparation for this story in this interview that it is like a whole thing in fitness now. You can buy different plates of weights to put in your rucksack for exercise purposes and fitness purposes.
Yes. And that's also another purpose of this event is to make people aware of just getting out and moving your body, you know, creating a healthier lifestyle, both in the community and then also for our company, but also for the community. But you can, even if you're carrying 10 pounds, 20 pounds, shoot, throw some can of beans in a backpack and just go for a walk. You'll notice a difference in total calories burned and how your body feels afterwards. It's a really good way to metabolically condition your body to improve your health and your lifestyle. So it's definitely made a difference to a lot of us here at American Steel, and hopefully it has to other people too. They now know that there's a little bit more to just walking.
Yeah, absolutely. I've noticed my family likes to hike, and we one thing that we'll do, and I've noticed, and I know a lot of parents do this, but those hiking backpacks where you can actually throw a kid in there, and it definitely can make for a very good workout. I maybe can't get quite as much distance as I would otherwise, but the impact I think is really good for my body. So.
Yes, extremely good. And you know, it was really neat. We had some firefighters that came out in their full garb. They hiked it at. We had, I believe it was the Army Recruiting Center here in Canby in town, had two recruits. And then the two recruiters, you guys will see pictures of them. They carried one of our American flags throughout the event. So it was great to see them. I hope we see more offices like that next year. Canby Fire was here. Canby Police were here. Wayland Construction was a big help. They had a very large group here. Clink Scales helped us with our facilities that many people were happy to have portable restrooms on hand. Ebner's Meats here in town donated meat sticks for our after race snacks, as well as Cuts First Market donated water and bananas. So it was just such a great coming together of so many different businesses to positively impact the community. And then really the whole why of the event was just to remember and recognize what our first responders, our active duty military, and our veterans have done for us as a community, as a country, and just Americans as a whole. We're just so blessed and so lucky for, you know, all the sacrifices that they lay down for us every day.
Yeah, I love that. I think it was such a cool event, such a cool idea. I love to see how successful it was. But I do have to be honest, Jackie, one of my interests in doing this story is, you know, on our podcast, we'll often do sort of pun titles based on the content of the interviews or whatnot for each episode. And one of the big appeals to me was some of the fun things I could potentially do with the word ruck in terms of a pun title. So we'll see what happens with that and what my producer lets me get away with. But how many folks did you have participating in this inaugural event?
We had a total of 105 participants, which was just outstanding.
That's got to blow you away.
It did. And it's just been so fun this morning in the office. Everybody is just smiles and what a great event and can't wait for next year. And it was the same way the morning of, you know, we got here at 6 a.m. We started setting up, registration opened at 7. The race started at 8 and it was just floods of people that just started to come in. We had about 75 pre-registered and then the balance came in that morning. I think not having the rain helped, and it was a beautiful foggy morning walking down the trail, but
yeah, Some of the amongst pictures are fantastic.
Yeah, they're so cool. Amongst us organizers, we couldn't stop smiling ear to ear because it was just getting bigger and bigger, which is kind of nerve-wracking, you know, because it's like, what's this going to be like years after? But we're just so excited. And we love that the community is excited. And we heard a lot of positive things and positive ideas for future years. So I think it's just going to exponentially grow and impact so many people, which is amazing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I wanted to ask you, did you find that folks had some kind of creative ideas for what they decided to carry with them to meet the RUC request?
We did. There were some people that had Traeger pellets in their backpack. Some of people just had...
Hopefully still in the bag.
Yeah, still in the bag,
Okay, good.
25 pound dumbbell weights. Those were pretty popular. I saw gentlemen had, I think 25 pound dumbbell weights, and then
did they carry it in their hands or did they?
No, they were taped to their backpack. A lot of people just put in. You can buy these RUC weights online, whether it's through Go RUC, and they have specific bags or. I've heard you could duct tape bricks together. We're thinking about maybe for future years doing like most creative weight carry.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Just to have a fun little contest on the side, right? But a lot of people like those weight vests, and we actually had some gentlemen run it, which was just phenomenal to see the athleticism there. And we're even welcoming non-weighted ruckers just because we want to welcome everybody. We're not going to turn anyone away, and we hope maybe in following years they will carry weight and ruck with us.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. The date happened to fall on the anniversary of the start of the Battle of Iwo Jima. There was, you know, the annual ceremony that we do at the Kambi Adult Center there. Was that part of the intention for you guys to hold the event on that day, or was that just a happy coincidence?
That was a happy coincidence.
Yeah,
definitely. And that just makes my heart sing that worked out that way too. Thank you for letting me know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that was because I hadn't heard about the event. And that was my first thought when folks were texting me about it. I was like, I wonder if it has something to do with, you know, because people were talking about the flags and whatnot. So that was the patriotic thing that occurred to me. But and the route was along the logging trail, right? About a 7-mile route.
Correct. We started at the American Steel parking lot, and then we headed down on Sequoia, hopped over the bridge that crosses the railroad track, and then hairpin turned back on the logging trail. We went all the way down to the river past Willamette Valley Country Club, and then rucked all the way back. That Fred Meyer Hill that crosses 99 on your way back towards American Steel is sneaky. It's a very gradual grade, but it bites you. It's such a beautiful walk, and we're so lucky to have that in our community. One of our housekeeping things, you know, before we took off for the race was we just wanted people to be cordial, and respect other people that were using the trail because it is a public trail. So we really tried to be cognizant of that as a group when we were using the trail that early in the morning. And if people were walking their dogs, you know, bring things to clean up after them, but also just, you know, be respectful and pick your pace, and hopefully we can get more people to join us next year.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You described it as a race. What was that kind of substance of the event, where folks did kind of go at their own pace and sort of spread out, or did people tend to kind of clump more as a group and just enjoy the experience?
You know, we had both.
Okay.
And I think it's neat that the event can welcome that. We did have some people call and say, hey, can we run it? And we said, as long as you're carrying weight, you know, this isn't a 5K or half marathon where you just come and run. We do want you to carry weight if you are running it. If you're walking it, we would like you to carry weight. You can take it at your own pace. So if you want to try to get it done as fast as you can, fantastic. If you want to take the day to do it, fantastic. We just want people to do the best for themselves. And really, while you're out there walking, remember why you're doing it. That was the whole goal of the whole thing. And then to be able to donate to wonderful nonprofits was just the cherry on top. So I know there's always a competitive side to people, right? So you always want to say, oh, I'm carrying 20 pounds more than him, or she's carrying 10 pounds more than me, and I got it done 5 minutes faster, it took me 5 minutes longer, whatever it is. I think people will always have that competitive nature, which always makes it fun.
Absolutely. Well, Jackie, thanks so much for your time today and telling us about this wonderful event. You have mentioned a couple times that there's definitely going to be a second annual one. Do we have any information about that yet, or just a way that folks could get in touch if they would like to receive information when it's ready?
Yeah, definitely. I think we will be holding the second American Ruck around the same time next year. Ideally, Rucks are supposed to be... I'm going to say embrace the suck. It's supposed to be not a fun thing to do in a way of if it's raining, that's good. The harder, the better, because our service members and first responders have given so much that that's kind of the whole reason of it is to make it hard. So we like that it's cold. If it would have rained, that would be
right.
Great. Our turnout wouldn't have been as good, but it's in the spirit of it, right?
Right, right. It's not necessarily supposed to be like a gorgeous summer day.
Correct. Gosh, if we would have had it last Saturday, I think we all would have been in shorts and t-shirts.
Right, right.
It was so warm. So I'm thinking about the same time. I don't know. We have our community our group of people here at American Steel, that our committee, that will be talking about the positives and ways that we can improve for next year. So we're thinking about the same time, just after the first of the year. And you can always check us out on Facebook. We're always going to have a page there. We obviously need to get connected on Twitter. We put this together in about 2 months, so it was pretty interesting. Now that we have a year of planning and have one under our belt, we will have ways to communicate it better. We'll post it on Camby Now. We'll post it in other communities outside of Camby to try to get some other people coming in. And just, you're always welcome to call American Steel and find out more about the American Ruck.
Well, Jackie, thanks again for your time. Thanks for putting on this wonderful event, you and your team. And congratulations on a successful first year.
Tyler, we really appreciate you taking the interest to talk to us and find out more about what we did. We are just so excited about how it turned out. Thank you.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Okay, Tyler, I need to tell you about the latest giveaway from DirectLink.
Okay.
So I know you're not the biggest sports guy.
Not at all.
But let me paint you a little picture. Portland versus Oklahoma City in the first round of the playoffs. 10 seconds left, all tied up with the series on the line. Damian Lillard is at half court, Paul George in his face. Dame, cool as ice, lets the clock drain down to nothing, then launches this ridiculous bomb from the logo, nothing but net. And the crowd goes insane. Here, check this out.
Lillard, long range three, and it's good! At the buzzer!
Okay, I gotta admit, that's pretty cool. Can you imagine being there?
I know, right? Well, thanks to our friends at DirectLink, Camby's local reliable internet provider, you can.
I can? Yes!
Well, no, actually, you can't. But one of our listeners can.
Oh, well, okay.
That's because we're giving away 2 100-level tickets to the Blazers versus San Antonio on March 23rd.
Wait, I don't even know what that is, but that sounds so cool. Level 100 seats?
That's right. Only a dozen rows back from the court. This ticket giveaway is exclusively for our podcast listeners and readers, and you can enter to win right now at directlink.coop/canbecurrent. The giveaway will end on March 2nd, and the winner will be randomly chosen that day.
Okay, but I do have one serious question.
Okay.
Can I seriously not enter to win these tickets?
Okay, well, Tyler, all the rules are on the website. Just visit directlink.coop/canbecurrent, and good luck, everybody.
Damian Lillard for 50 points. Good night.
Are you a healthcare hero? Do you want to become one? Are you looking for a position where you are valued, your time is your own, and you have ample opportunity for growth? Marquee companies at Hope Village in Camby, Oregon offers all of that and more. They are currently hiring nurses, caregivers, CNAs, and enrolling students in their free CNA course.
From competitive wages and up to $25,000 tuition reimbursement to flexible schedules and the opportunity to make a positive impact on someone's life, Marquee at Hope Village is the right place for you. Take your career to the next level and apply now to become a valued team member at Marquee at Hope Village in Canby. To learn more or apply today, text CURRENT, that's C-U-R-R-E-N-T, to 888-906-3432.
Canby then will conclude this episode of Now Hear This Canby, and it is brought to you by Retro Revival. They are not your average antique shop. They're open daily, and you can find them on the corner of Northwest 3rd and Grant Street in downtown Canby, or you can connect with them through email at retrorevivaloc@gmail.com. Based on real events, the 2008 film Changeling tells the story of a single mother whose son is abducted, then later returned, or is he? Police bring a boy whom they claim is her son, but she doesn't recognize him. When she refuses to accept the imposter, the authorities have her committed to a mental institution. A similar story, albeit one with a much older child and a much happier ending, happened right here in Canby in 1915. 2 years earlier, in 1913, Oscar W. Sturgis, a well-known Clackamas County pioneer and Canby farmer, made a very difficult decision. He had his 40-year-old son, Charlie, committed to the state insane asylum in Salem. We don't know the exact circumstances of this decision, but we know Oscar Sturgis was in his 70s and his wife, 15 years younger, was also in poor health. It's a reasonable assumption that the Sturgises were unable to provide the level of care that Charlie needed. The Oregon State Hospital in the early 1900s was a dark and infamous place, which is not unusual in a time when mental illness was greatly feared and poorly understood. The hospital was underfunded and overcrowded. Later, its staff would infamously take part in the eugenics movement, sterilizing more than 2,600 patients over the years, and experimented with practices now considered barbaric, including electroshock therapy and insulin shock therapy, where patients were repeatedly treated with large doses of insulin to induce daily comas. Is it any wonder that in April 1915, less than 2 years after he'd been institutionalized, Charlie Sturgis escaped from the Oregon State Hospital? It was also probably not surprising to a local officials when a body, an apparent murder victim, turned up in the mountains near Eugene, matching Charlie's description and wearing his hospital-issued clothing. Back in Canby, the Sturgises were informed of the gruesome discovery and sent a family friend, A.J. Burdett, to view the corpse. He positively identified it as Charlie Sturgis. The body was transported back home and laid to rest in a family plot at the Canby Oddfellows Cemetery. Months passed, and the family worked to move on and put the sad episode behind them. As the holidays drew near, one can imagine how heavily the tragic loss of their ill son must have weighed on their parents' hearts. I can only guess that they must have blamed themselves for his death. Then, on November 21st, 4 days before Thanksgiving, a knock came on the door of the Sturgis family home. It was Charlie Sturgis, miraculously alive, smiling, and in good health, mind and body. The door had been answered by his sister, Bertha Hurst, who was dumbfounded to see the man she'd assumed had been buried months ago standing before her. When she recovered, she took Charlie to his old room and then went to break the news to their mother. She knew she had to handle this carefully, given her mother's fragile state of health. She asked, "Can you stand some news, which might be a little shock?" "Huh, yeah, I guess so, but what is it?" her mother replied. She explained that her brother was not dead. In fact, he had just come home, and her mother promptly fainted. "Huh, we had to put her to bed and call Dr. Dedham," Bertha later recalled. When Oscar Sturgis was told the news, he had the same reaction. Charlie, of course, had no idea that he'd been pronounced dead, that he'd had a funeral, that there'd even been a body in a cemetery with a tombstone bearing his name. and his sister was reluctant to tell him for fear of the effect that this would have on his mental state. For this same reason, he was not told of the impact his return had had on his parents. Everything possible is being done to prevent Charles Sturgis from becoming excited, the Oregonian later reported. The truth slowly emerged over the next several days. After escaping the state hospital, Charlie had traveled to Washington State, where he'd worked in various towns before deciding he missed home and wanted to see his family. But this, it didn't answer the big question. Who was the man buried in the Sturgis corner of the Canby Cemetery? And why was he wearing Charlie's clothes down to the patient number he'd been issued at the state hospital? Part of this was eventually answered when Charlie explained that he had actually escaped the institution in April 1915 with a group of patients. After getting away, they had all traded clothes before splitting up in order to confuse any authorities they encountered. But as to who he was and how he met his grisly fate, we'll probably never know. We can only assume that the details mattered little to the Sturgis family. Through a seeming miracle, the son they had known to be dead was returned to them just in time for the holidays. And well, sometimes miracles don't need an explanation. Unfortunately, we were unable to pick up any threads of this fascinating story after 1915. If you knew anything about what became of Charles Sturgis and his family, please let us know. Get in touch with us on our website at canbyfirst.com. Well, friends, that does it for us for this Thanksgiving episode of Now Hear This Canby. I'm your host, James Walton. As always, thank you so much for listening. Have a great day and a very happy Thanksgiving.
And now, a message from Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to take this moment to invite you personally to come and hang out with us for our end of season client event. It's a thank you to all the wonderful people we've done business with, as well as a welcome to a lot of our community. I'm doing this in partnership with Vanessa Zimmerman, Zimmerman team at Academy Mortgage. It's just kind of our way of saying thank you. We've really enjoyed getting to know you, doing business with you, etc. We'll be outside. We're sensitive to the fact that we're in COVID, still dealing with that. So it will be spread out. People will have room to breathe and sit and walk and talk. Reckless Company, if you've never heard them before, they're awesome. They're going to be playing. We'll have TMK here. I can't wait to try the corn dog. I've been waiting like 2 years to try this corn dog. So it looks amazing, and I've heard it's amazing, and I think there's quite a following. Also, they'll have all kinds of other food. We'll have beer and cider. Everything's hosted, of course, as a thank you. Again, it's for our clients. It's for our community. We really, really want to come and celebrate. We'll have swag for you, all kinds of fun things for the kids. We hope to see you on 9/16 from 4 to 8 in the afternoon.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? Or no. That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait. Do you know any trivia that isn't, like, animal-related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Canby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Canby's longest-running, locally-owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yep. Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Canby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately like caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Canby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Can Be by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Can Be is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.